Yes.
He kind of does with a couple.
Joe brought.
Yeah, he's at a board meeting also.
Oh, what board is he in?
Shoppers.
That's
painful.
The tools of the office. Are we ready to go? Are we a little bit ahead?
2 minutes.
2 minutes ahead?
2 minutes.
Pseudoscientists who try to refuse science, like, you know, like vaccines don't cause cancer, like tobacco causes cancer, like warming, you know, but you always have this group of dead people who try to spread disease out.
I've got 5:30. I will call this March 24th meeting of the Carson City Library Board of Trustees to order. First, I will entertain public comment. Members of the comment public may come forward. Roll call first.
Chair Hayes.
Present.
Vice Chair Solinger.
Present.
Trustee Graber.
Present.
Trustee Lavrati.
Here.
Trustee Patton.
Present.
Accordance present.
There we go. Now we'll entertain public comment. Members of the public can come forward and address the board. Just note that comment can be limited to 3 minutes. Seeing none forthcoming, we can move on to item 3. We will not be voting on the minutes of the previous meeting because there is a typo in the on the agenda. However, we can discuss if there were any issues with the minutes, correct?
So what I recommend for you guys to do is just have the minutes provided as they were in the packet already, and then next meeting approve the minutes.
Okay. So we can note any irregularities on the minutes now?
I don't see a problem with that.
Because the only thing I saw was that my last name was misspelled about half the time.
Can't we approve as amended?
Right, but we'll, so we can't approve them at this meeting because of the typo on the agenda.
What's the typo?
Yeah, what's the agenda?
The date.
Date?
Yeah, because it's February 23rd, not February 24th.
Got it.
So are there any other
problems?
I do not see.
So I'll send an updated one for the darkness.
Okay.
Did you note the wrong date?
On the
agenda?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So in that case, I think we can move on to item 4, which would be the Friends of the Carson City Library report.
Just some update from what is in your packet.
We did have our altar event last Saturday. We had a fantastic turnout. The sales in the store jumped about 50% or more during that time period when she was there. And she sold everything she brought and shared her returns with us and gave us $85. So it was a very successful day.
Excellent. Sounds good. In that case, I believe we move on to item 5, the Library Director Administrative Reports.
Yes. And so what you'll see in your packet, the director report is first, but we'll go ahead and go through the budget first and then move to program type reports of the library. So under the budget, what you'll see is the 101 detail budget report. We are 67% of the year lapped, and we are 63% spent. Now, that's good. But that is also because we had salary savings from the positions that had been vacant. However, we had retirements, which causes expenditures to our budget, payouts for leave and sick leave and annual leave. And so that's what you're seeing there. That's why it is so close. But if you look in the salaries and wages, we're 65% spent. But you'll see where there's 0% budgeted, but then there's expenditures in those line items. Those are all costs of retirements. Mm-hmm. So when we move down to, is there any questions on the 101 budget? Just from that? Okay. So we'll go to the next group, which is the 230 or Library Gift Fund. We're 67% of the year left, and we're at 60% spent of what we budgeted for the year. So again, we're looking good on that front. The Friends collection, we're 100% spent for our book lease, which is good because that's where that amount should have been put, and it has been moved to that location. So is there any questions on that 230 detailed budget or the account activity which is behind that detailed budget report? Okay. Seeing no questions with that, the next grouping is our 275, which is our grant funding. And that's the last two pages of your budget report, so you can get there. We're 67% of the year lapsed. We are a little bit behind. We're only 52% spent. We will get that spent this month, and it hopefully will reflect in the next month's reports that those are spent. And then you'll see, again, a 275 report, and we're 67% of the year through. We're 66% spent. And that is our MT1, or Nevada's Working Capital Grant, which if you hear the murmuring in the background, there's a SolidWorks class going on in the MT1 room right now. So that is, and it's been going on since about noon, 1 o'clock today. So that's good stuff. Are there any questions with the 275 funds? Yes.
Can I ask a question about the 230 fund?
Yes.
I want to plead my ignorance here. And I see it says library gift.
Yes.
What does that mean?
So library gift.
Because to me, it sounds like the Friends of the Library are giving you money to pay for this.
Sometimes they do.
But not at this scale.
No. So the library gift fund is where all donations to the library reside. So anybody who's given any money to the library, it goes into the library gift fund. We also, for book replacements, the money goes into the library gift fund, and then we pay for those book replacements out of the library gift fund. So any matching funds for any grants, the foundation gave money through the library gift fund, Hoffman May Adams Foundation gave money through the library gift fund, those matching grant funds go into the 230 account.
But it looks like you're paying salaries out of this fund.
We are. We have paid salaries out of that fund based on the board's approval. Those were Noe's, Barba's salaries, and the Digitorium funding that we had for this Digitorium space. Are there any other questions?
So other than what you've already explained,
yes.
Overarching, how would you characterize the kinds of things that we use 2304 for?
The library gift fund is under the purview of the library board. And so the library board has to approve any expenditure over $500 out of that fund. It's used, I'll kind of go through the line items so that you can
The kind of things that aren't already.
Yeah,
new things.
Yeah, so the facility at FF&E, so with the approval of the strategic plan in 2013, at the end of 2013, there was essentially a list of items attached to that, furniture, fixtures, anything from reupholstering the chairs in the library to wiring in this Digitorium space.
Yeah, I'm going to put it this way. Is there anything that is absolutely not cool to pay for out of that fund?
It is completely up to this board.
Got it. Okay. Thank you.
Generally, reoccurring costs for salaries are not paid out of the Digitorium, and it ends essentially when the board asks it to end.
Mm-hmm.
The only other cost that comes out for salary is Bryce here filming these meetings that was approved by this board.
Right.
So
I
that
know,
would be
I know the
only
conversation
other
of the
cost.
Gift fund comes up on a fairly regular basis. Now, what is that again? So thank you.
Yeah, and it's a fund that is tracked through the city.
Mm-hmm.
However, it is not city controlled by NRS. It is Library Board of Trustees controlled funding.
Nice.
Anything else? Okay. So, if there's no questions on any of the budget, then I'm going, or any additional questions, I'll go ahead and move to my reporting. So, we had a really awesome, Phyllis was there last week, time with Dr. Chen, who was the leader of Edutopia and the George Lucas Foundation's education movement. He spoke about innovation in education over at the Brewery Arts Center last Wednesday, and the opportunity came through Hoffman May Adams Foundation, who has been a great supporter of the library historically, and they gave us the opportunity to then, at the end, speak about 5 minutes about what the library is doing in our community that's innovative. And I think that was a great opportunity to enlighten some of our community about what we are doing. So you'll see in the director's report images of that event. We were also in the news. We participated in the job fair, not necessarily advertising positions, but advertising our workforce development programs that we offer, lynda.com, the manufacturing technician one, which I do believe we got 2 sign-ups kind of through that process. They decided they wanted to participate. And then there was an op-ed piece about why reading was important and mentioned the library in that as well. So 2 of the statistics that I've included in here, one of them is overdrive. That's something that I will continually include because I think it's a really good measure of what our community is desiring in the world of ebooks and e-audiobooks. The circulation for as of 8 months through the year, we are exceeding last year's statistics pretty significantly, and the year before that. It's still nowhere near the circulation of our print collection, but it is working its way towards there. Our print collection, however, is not seeing a decline in circulation. It's staying about the same. So we're actually seeing increases in digital circulation. So the next statistic you'll see is computer use hours, not including Wi-Fi, from July of this last year until this month. So you'll see that we're regularly, except for in February, which we have a few less days in February, and we were open 3 less days in the month as well, is we are regularly hitting over 3,500 hours a month in computer usage. In calendar year 15, we had 54,000 hours of computer usage in this library, not including Wi-Fi. And then Aubrey will probably mention this a little bit more, but we had the opportunity to participate in NC Labs, which is a coding and 3D modeling program, and we will be experimenting or piloting library camps next week during spring break, and those are available to 6th, 7th, and 8th graders, and 4th and 5th graders. So the next item I wanted to report on is the library has received 2 additional retirement requests, essentially, for this year. Roger Hackinson is going to be retiring as of June 17th. And Andrea Moore will be retiring as of April 1st. So those will hit our budget, and I am working with finance to make sure that we're okay and everything will get covered, because that will definitely impact our bottom line. As you saw, we are 60% or 63% spent and 67% through the year.
Right.
We will have salary savings, but not that much salary savings.
Yeah.
So then the last thing that I wanted to discuss, and I'm going to ask Diane to come up and just talk a little bit about why, but it is a disclosure for library board members. We are applying for grant funding, or matching grant funding, essentially, through EL Core Foundation. So.
And Cena will pass those around. We are going to be applying to more and more private foundations for grant funding for different purposes. We have one on board at this point to help support the mobile makerspace, for which we'll have we've had preliminary announcements that we will have funding for that, and to extend what we have available in those grant monies. We're looking at the Accord for a small amount. And what they have as part of their requirement for any grant funding is a list of our board members and the affiliation. And the reason they have that it's listed in here is that if any of their officers or individuals that are reviewing grants happen to be affiliated with any of the organizations you're affiliated with, they will recuse themselves from their grant review. So that's the purpose of it. It's not, you know, out there to try to find more information about individuals. What you provide to us, we will keep that secure. Most of the foundations also have their own privacy information. So that part, I want to assure you on, and that is why we're looking for that. We'll keep it on file. And as we need it for any additional private funding, we will have that available and we'll have to ask you to keep it on. So, did you have any questions, one, about what we're asking you to do, or this foundation, or anything, or any of our other plans on that?
What is the grant for?
Yeah.
The grant will be for, we're requesting funding for our Mac Air computers. It's something that's not allowable with the federal funds. Well, without, there's a lot of regulations when you go for an internet capable and connected computer with that particular federal pot of money.
Right.
And so this is what, we're looking for that funding directly from them. So we're looking at that. The amount we're looking at is in the $12,000 to $13,000 range. So it's a small. In general, it's a small grant. But EL Cord has a track record of supporting libraries in Northern Nevada and other cultural and education operations as well. So we think there's a good possibility.
Kind of matching.
They don't require any match.
So currently the Mobile Makerspace grant is right about $32,000. That includes this amount, it does not include this amount. But we have gotten great support from our community. There's a lot of interest in this Mobile Makerspace, and there's some other partnerships that I think will develop out of this that will be really great for the library and for our community.
When you say that, that's the thing about putting the Wi-Fis throughout the community, when you say Mobile Maker?
No, the Mobile Makerspace is essentially, think of the library van, but instead of it carrying books around to other libraries, we're carrying Raspberry Pis, which are little mini computers, 3D printer, a Glowforge, which is a laser cutter. So it's a maker's van. So we take this to after-school programs, Boys and Girls Club, and then they get to participate. They get to learn how to code, and they're doing these things with this van space. And we kind of do a pop-up and provide that space for them to learn new tech-related things.
Excellent.
With that, I am done with my report.
Okay. In that case, we'll move on to agenda item 6, other administrative reports. So the adult services update and activities since the last report.
So I will be doing the adult services report since Andrea Moore is not here. The big thing is you have a preliminary calendar in your books. And you have the Elon Musk, Tesla, SpaceX, and the Quest for a Fantastic Future book at your table or at your seat as well. This is our community read or capital reads, which is funded by the Friends of the Library. And we will be reading this until April 17th. We are working to try and get the author of this book here at the library. I don't know that it's going to happen the week of National Library Week, which is the 10th through the 17th, but hopefully at some point we will get this author here, because I do think that this is an important book for our region. It's an important book for our community. The impact that Elon Musk has had on the technology industry and the economy of Northern Nevada is extensive, and with this Nevada Energy Commission ruling and the things that they're looking at now, his involvement in Solar City is even that much more important to Nevada and Northern Nevada. We get a lot of sun. We should be able to take advantage of that sun. But I think this is a really good book for people to read, think about what the impact of these technology ideas are in their community, and really have a conversation of what they want their community to do from then out. Manufacturing is big in Carson City. I think this is an important book. You can also get it on OverDrive as an ebook or an audiobook. So don't feel that you have to take the paper book with you if you prefer to read it or listen to it in another manner. You also have the calendar there as well. We do not have the summer reading program items in that calendar. We will be putting out a separate calendar for the summer reading program specifically, which this year we will be calling the Summer Learning Program, because we are going to try and teach the community to code. That is one of the goals of this summer. Everyone, all ages. So It will be a fun experience and time. We'll be using NC Labs to do this. That's something when Aubrey's talking about it, I'll go ahead and show you what that looks like. But we will have the summer reading program calendar out by our next meeting. And essentially at that meeting, you can see all of the really amazing things. We did have a meeting about it today. And everything from family game nights to outdoor games. The theme is Exercise Your Mind, as it is the Olympics. So this summer is the Olympics. So with that, the adult report is done.
Insofar as teaching the community to code, you mentioned Raspberry Pis. Are we teaching them to code in Python?
We're teaching them. Python is one of the languages. To get there through NC Labs, there's a lot of beginning pieces before you would get to Python. So everybody might not know Python at the end of this, but they'll know the basic concepts of critical thinking and coding.
Excellent. In that case, I think we can move on to item B, the access services update and activities.
Access services. So, I have two things I've highlighted on the access services report. The first is the circulation services, facilitating connection to the community by offering mobile and remote printing, something we've had actually for a while, but not. At our last staff development meeting, we went over again how it works. And so when I was going to prepare this report, this is my iPad mini in my hand. I took a picture of accessing the service, sending the job into the black and white printer here in the Sony Express computers, and it was very easy. It's something that people can do from home if their printer's down or they don't have a printer or they're away from home and they have their mobile device. So it's also, at this time, it's displayed on our website as one of the banners that rotates around so that it's more visible right now for people who can visit our website and hopefully we'll see more people using it. In technical services, as Tina was talking about the capital needs and the Elon Musk book, we also provided book bags to the community, too, actually. We'll see how it goes. We can always create more. And this is something that, to my knowledge, we've never done before. And so I was a little, mystified as, okay, how do I catalog a book bag? And so I went on to OCLC, which is our cataloging utility website that we use, and sure enough, there's a lot of book bags there that the libraries have been doing. I was able to borrow a record and then amend it to serve our purposes with that particular book, and then created the various processing that allows somebody to check out all five books at once, turn them all at once, of course. Created a sign-out sheet so they can keep track of their book club members and who have which book. And so we'll see. And it is in the catalog. If somebody, they keyword Elon Musk's biography, they will see the book bag. If they title search book bag, book club bag, they'll find it as well. So as well as the fact that we have it advertised on our display out here, it tells people that there are books book bags available as well. So that was kind of an interesting project. Any questions?
Thank you very much. All right, with that, we can move on to item C, the youth services update and activities.
For the record, Aubrey White, library assistant in the library department. So aside from our regularly scheduled activities that we have on the calendar you've already been provided, I just wanted to talk about some of the bigger programs that we're going to be doing here in the next few months. To start, we have a diversity in action grant that we're implementing during the month of April. where we're going to be actually going out to the after-school programs that are conducted through the Parks and Rec Department of the city and doing a bilingual story time. We're going to be raffling off some books so the kids can actually, after they're done participating with the book and the activity, they can actually take something home themselves. And then we're going to be doing some special versions of our regularly scheduled activities, like our Craft Tuesdays, that have a theme that fits in with the diversity. Another thing I'm actually really excited about, and I hope the kids get to use, is Heather purchased a collection of ebooks from Tumble Books, and they take books that, you know, that are beloved, that you've known for years, and they turn them into ebooks that are actually animated and have sound and are going to be a lot of fun. We'll have that collection up and available for people to check out as part of the grant. Another thing that's happening in April, at least for me, is until Molly's replacement arrives on April 29th, I've been put in charge of the Digitorium by Sina. So I'm primarily just going to be working on inventory and organizing the space to get it ready for her arrival. But I'm also working with the school district to get this year's PSAs up and sent out so that they'll be available for viewing over at the Fandango. So if you have any questions about the Digitorium, you get to ask me for at least the next 5 or 6 weeks. And then you'll get to meet the new person who gets all the questions asked. As Sina mentioned, we are working on the calendar for the summer learning program, but I thought I'd give you a little bit of a sneak peek of some of the activities that we're going to be doing. We made a list of them. We're going to be doing a family game night, outdoor gaming. We're going to do a Minecraft program. We're going to be doing a readathon, Zumba, yoga, and that's just some of the programs. My favorite is we're doing hashtag Make It in Nevada. We'll be doing a weekly series where local makers are going to be able to come in and show off, you know, how to sew or you know, how to build different things. And I'm really excited about that program. I think it's going to be really successful because, as mentioned, the theme is exercise your mind for this program. And we really want to stretch the community's imagination in what it means to exercise your mind. And the last thing that Sina is going to show you up here is we're going to be doing some in the summer as well, but over spring break next week, we are going to have two one-day camps, one for 4th and 5th grade, one through 6-8, and we're going to run them through the basics of the math program. And Sina and I were fortunate enough to go into a two-day training on this program as well, so that we could familiarize ourselves with it and be comfortable in using it to teach others. And I would say this about the program. I've been asked a few times over the years to try and get coding into the hands of kids, and it's had varying degrees of success. And a lot of it has to do with the interface. Sometimes it's just too difficult for kids to translate from a game that's trying to teach them how to code into actual coding. And this is the first time that I have actually gone through a course and I felt like it was actually beneficial. Like I actually thought, okay, I can see how this would take me from a funny little robot that I'm passing through a maze into an actual career in coding. And what's nice is even though we're going to be providing a bit of guidance in our day camps, these courses are designed for self-paced activity. You can go through them on your own time, and by the time you're done, like I said, you should feel comfortable enough to be able to do coding. And by you, I mean anyone. Because it starts off, as you can see what Sina's doing here, it starts off by getting you used to maneuvering the robot through these mazes. Well then, after a few lessons in, you see those buttons there? They get taken away. You don't have the buttons anymore. Instead, you have to actually type in code to navigate this robot through these different mazes. And there's no other choice. You won't successfully move the robot or do anything unless you use the coding. And the courses, they introduce it to you a bit at a time so that you get more and more comfortable until you reach a point where you can just sit down and make your own maze with its own code from start to finish.
And it's hard to see, but you can, it will tell you how many steps and how many computer program lines it's taken for you to do this successfully. And so, obviously, with code, you want to be as simplistic as possible to do the most complicated job as possible. And so, like, because I crashed, I have 6 computer lines of code, but I've really only taken 4 steps. So it's teaching kids also to conserve and think before they act. Because, like, if I go forward again, I blow up.
And this isn't the only course that NC Labs offers. There's also what's called Tina the Turtle, which helps you to learn about 3 dimensions. And you navigate a turtle along the plank, and it teaches you. It will teaches the participants to think in 3 dimensions, to actually use the math that they're always complaining that they use. And then the last program, or what we're going to bring up to you. The third program actually takes you in depth into 3D modeling. You can create a 3D model using Tina the Turtle, but it's really designed to introduce you to 3D modeling, and then the last course drops you into it, where you have to write entirely in code to develop a 3D object. And so what we're going to do at the day camps with the 2 grade ranges is we're going to spend a little bit of time with them in each of these 3 courses, to get their appetite and to get them interested in this program. And then over the summer, we're going to do additional courses with the entire family so that anyone can come in here and learn about these courses, take these courses. And the libraries receive a number of logins that we'll be using during the course that students will be able to use. But anyone can sign up for the 3 parts of the NC Lab website. They give you all of these, access to all of these tools for no charge. The only thing that they charge for are the courses themselves. So once a student has gone through enough of these courses, they can on their own, without even needing the library's access, come in and start using these programs on their own time and keep working and developing more knowledge.
You can also, these are some of the other little pieces, but you can build like DNA models. You can model chemical compounds, which is helpful for students to be able to do. LaTeX is a scientific kind of like word, but for science, so that you can put equations into papers. That's available on here as well. NC Labs, just a little bit of history about it. It was actually... We say make it in Nevada. It was made in Nevada. It was made at UNR by Pavel Solvin. Dr. Solvin is a computational 3D design professor, I think is what he is, at UNR. And he does this essentially on the side. It's been around for about 5 years. And it's just starting to gain a lot of traction. And they've been marketing it, and they are very friendly to libraries. We have access currently to 60 seats, and we're working with the State Library and Archives to gain access to more seats for our summer reading program. And really, 30 seats is only $900, which in the scheme of things is not really all that pricey for the tools that you actually get. One of the nice things, too, is as you can see, if you're looking up here, there's My Files, Courses, and Creative Suite, but as a student, this I can sign on from any computer, and I get my own desktop. So for those students who are kind of disenfranchised youth who might only be able to access a computer at the library, they have ownership. It's going to remember what they've done on that login. And so they can also change the background. I'm not sure it's going to let me do it on the iPad. But you can change the background of the desktop so they can really own what they're doing in the program.
And that concludes my report. Are there any questions?
Sounds fascinating.
And if you like, we can show you a little bit more of NC Live out there.
Sounds good. Thank you. And with that, we'll move on to item D, the Youth Liaison Board of Trustees update.
Hi, I'm Sarah Knight, and I'm on the Board of Trustees for the Student Board Council. And we are not going to plan any events until Kim comes in, which is going to be the mayor of Molly. That way we don't have anything where she comes in and she'll be like, whoa, but it'll be fun. Oh, yeah, but it'll be fun. And that completes my speech. It was really interesting, but...
Excellent. All right, moving on to item 7, board member announcements and requests for information. Anybody have anything? John?
Just button up at the right time, but going back to the mobile Wi-Fi spots, where are we or where are you with that?
The city is looking at implementing that in Carson City throughout the downtown. It's something that we've talked back and forth with information technology, since we do have fiber in our space, that we might be able to take the fiber and put it back through the city system to then go throughout the downtown. We are trying to get Charter to pay and maintain it outside of the city, any city entity.
I don't think I told you this. And I don't know if anybody else has seen it, but I know I saw it someplace. But in New York City, they're doing this, and they're using the old telephone booths. You know, when you would go to make a phone call on the telephone, you know, where Superman would change. They're putting the Wi-Fi units in there all throughout the city. There were something, I don't know, like 10,000 of them. There were, you know... No phones, but
yeah,
so that was, and I just,
and generally what they're doing is they have a certain level for free, so you can use like a certain amount of megabytes or kilobytes or minutes for free, and then you have to pay for that, and so what that's doing is their service provider is then making money from that service.
In New York.
Yeah, New York.
I thought it was incredible that they were actually using the old focus. That was cool.
I have one question. Sure. I was reading an article about some libraries, and I can't recall exactly where, but part of their lending items were hotspots. Have we ever talked about that? Or
I talked to T-Mobile about that at one point. It costs $50 a month per hotspot. And you can disable it if they do not come back, so there's no incentive for them to keep that hotspot. But the cost is prohibitive for us at this point in time.
Thank you.
I just wanted to let you all know that the Browser's Corner has been invited to be a part of the TEDx program on April 8th. So if you're there all day and need time to hang out, come and see us.
Sorry, what program?
The TEDx talk up at the Brewery Arts Center. We will be upstairs in the ballroom. Promoting ourselves.
And to note, Bryce here will also be speaking at that TEDx event about education reform.
You want to give a rehearsal?
In that case, we'll move on to item 8, public comment. Members of the public can come forward and make comment, but note that it can be limited to 3 minutes. Seeing none forthcoming, we'll move to item 9, adjournment. Do I have a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Do I have a second?
I'll second.
have a motion and a second. Those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed? All right.
I don't think I have any affiliations other than the fact that I've heard.